Barack Obama reading it off. All you're seeing is their presentation. They might be articulate at presenting it, but when the teleprompter goes off, they're lost.
Oh, are you tired of artificial intelligence?
We are tired of artificial intelligence.
Well, that's what we've got from our educational system.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, can we listen to that first clip? I know we can.
It's happening, and I pledge to you that I will work across the aisle to fix this long-standing problem. I think the American people are demanding it on both sides of the aisle, and it's time we actually put the partisan approach to this aside. We know what can work.
Well, let's talk about this compromise bill that you want to pass if you're elected. You said that's going to be a priority. It includes $650 million in funding for the border wall. That's something Republicans wanted. That was part of the compromise. Under Donald Trump, you criticized the wall more than 50 times. You called it stupid, useless, and a medieval vanity project. Is a border wall stupid?
Well, let's talk about Donald Trump and that border wall. So remember, Donald Trump said Mexico would pay for it? Come on. They didn't. How much of that wall did he build? I think the last number I saw is about 2%. And then when it came time for him to do a photo op, you know where he did it? In the part of the wall that President Obama built.
But you're agreeing to a bill that earmarks $300 million to continue building that wall.
I pledge that I am going to bring forward that bipartisan bill.
President Obama didn't build a wall at all.
Further strengthen and secure our border. Yes, I am. And I'm going to work across the aisle to pass.
Kill that. There we go. So I remember Obama, he's the first one that opened up the border. Do you remember those caravans with people on top of trains coming in?
Yeah. Mr. Obama destroyed America and he destroyed Europe. His Arab Spring started the Muslim flood into Europe, to which they are still going with. So he was a good destroyer. I mean, he's kind of the Obama the Great, the destroyer of a lot of things.
And Bibi Brain Harris has the nerve to stand up there and say that President Trump took his picture in front of the portion of the wall that Obama built.
And I believe didn't Trump, I may be wrong here, but I thought he got up to like 60% of the wall built, and then he got stolen and didn't finish it. So she said 2%. That's not even close. He got a lot of that wall built.
And as a matter of fact, he had all the materials, the steel and the fencing and everything sitting there ready to go up. And what happened?
What's
that idiot we got in there?
Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe. He sold it all.
Yeah.
So now we're going to have to repurchase it.
Yeah, well, he's like he emptied out the strategic reserve at, I think Trump filled it up at something like in the high twos or low threes per gallon to fill it up. And now we're going to be looking at having to fill it up at like four something a gallon. So good job, Joe. You're making great decisions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well
hey, where are we anyway? We're at KCNR1460.com.
96.5 FM.
1460 AM, like you didn't know where you're at anyway.
Hey, I want our listeners to know that Northern California has gone full rainbow. We are full rainbow. I don't know if anybody got to see it today, but I was driving in from Shingletucky, where the people bark and the dogs talk. But I was driving in, and out from Lake Shasta, it was one of the most beautiful, intense rainbows I've ever seen. It was amazing. I don't know why, because it hasn't rained yet, but I got to say, it was actually quite a sight. So we went rainbow today.
That's a message from the spacecraft that's coming in to resupply the Lemurians that live underneath Mount Shasta.
Oh, good theory. I like it.
There's people that actually believe that.
There's people that believe the world is flat. That doesn't mean we have to give them credence.
So, the latest on Caitlin Clark, it just gets better and better and better. She said to heck with the WNBA, and she's going to Europe to play.
Yep.
Angel Reese got caught using steroids, and she's kicked out of the NBA or the WNBA for life.
Oh, good.
I think that's just comical.
At this rate, the WNBA will cease to exist by stupidity.
They're starting a new 3-on-3 league.
Really?
Yes.
Menage a trois.
A different league. Some guy out of Florida is doing it. And let's see. I think it said there's going to be
Well, nobody watches it now. That's the problem. I mean, they have empty stadiums. The TV rights don't generate anything. And so what do you want to do? You ruin the best player to come along in a long time. Forget her skin color. She is really good.
I think 3-on-3 would be pretty good. I think that would be fun to watch. Especially if you've got a Caitlin Clark in there.
Yeah.
They're trying to recruit her to come and play.
Yeah, she's very Larry Bird-ish. She just scores and knows how to do everything. So I wish her well.
Listen, I was listening to Carl Bott's show. We're getting ready for the second clip there, Dave. And I heard Susan Wilson on there. Susan Wilson was she's in charge of a few nonprofits and has been for quite a few years. I had the pleasure or displeasure of working with her twice at the Cascade Theater when I was a volunteer. She was the boss upstairs. And, oh, my goodness, I never wanted to work with her again. Boy, she was bossy, know-it-all. And just treated me quite low. So anytime I get to listen to her, I listen to her. And she's got a very wise decision. I've got to give her credit that how we're going to, help our drug addict criminal brothers and sisters. How we should, I'm thinking maybe we ought to give her this $32 million and let her run her program to take care of the homeless and the drug addicts and return them to society, to be contributing members to society. Can we play that clip now?
Jail. The jail. We need a jail. We either need a jail or we need some kind of detention center that we can put all those petty offenders in and just put them in there. Mm-hmm. And
or find alternatives to jailing people.
Well, that would be nice, except we tried that under Prop 47, and it's failed. Unless you've got a hammer on people.
Try another way.
What's the other way?
I don't know. But we need to start being a little more imaginative than going back to the same thing that didn't work. You know, that's something I do feel strongly about. And I'm not speaking of prisons and bad people.
No.
I'm just saying in general. You know, we keep going back to what we tried and it didn't work. We need to be imaginative.
So what are we going to do there, Doug?
Well, that's the great thing about liberals is they always have these grand, we need to do something different. And then you ask them for a specific idea and they never have one. The fact of the matter is the modern criminal is not like the criminal of old days. You know, in the old days, you had the people that are doing petty crime and maybe got caught with a little bit of weed or maybe cocaine. And then the 60s came along and introduced a whole new class of drugs and a whole new class of criminal that we had never seen before in history. And now we're with fentanyl, we're with meth. These people, the rehab rate on them is nearly zero because, number one, it's such a strong drug. They don't want to be rehabbed. They don't know how to go about getting rehabbed. And the best thing you can do is lock them up for an extended period of time.
She just said that wasn't working.
And clean them up. And then once they're cleaned up, have a program in the prison where you can have one or two counselors counsel 40 people at a time versus trying to have 40 different people go to 40 different counselors. But that's their whole thing is they always, we need to change and revise. They need to be locked up. End of story. The public, you and I, the taxpayers, our listeners need to be protected. And once we're protected, we can come up with solutions. But we are bending over backwards for the lowest common denominator in our society. We are trying to help the people who are destroying society. And they go, well, if we can fix them, we can't fix them. They have to want to fix themselves.
And then it doesn't work a lot.
And then it doesn't work. I mean, I mentioned it the other day or one of our shows recently. And the guest that we had, and I love the dude to death, his name is Adam, local real estate agent, just freaking awesome agent, freaking awesome person. But his life story is a story of going through the phases of, bad decisions, bad drugs, blah, blah, blah. He went to the program at the Good News Rescue Mission. And he came out clean, and he stayed clean since. But he himself had said on our show that, out of 100 people, maybe 5 make it. I mean, and if you don't want it, you're not going to clean up. So then you have to force it on them, to be honest with you.
Well, what I like about your idea is they have to go to jail, have to go to prison and get clean. What I like about that is they're suffering the consequences of their crime.
Absolutely.
I don't like the idea that they brought me into my house – he went and got rehabbed. We're even now. Well, I'm not even.
No. No, I mean, and all these people that walk into the stores, and my cousin's listening in Oregon, so good morning, Don. The idea that you can walk into a store and walk out with $949 worth of stuff and get a parking ticket and still keep the stuff, by the way. I mean, many times, you know, they don't even give it back.
Well, if they were down here in California, they'd get a debit card and they wouldn't have to steal it.
Well, if they were in New York, they'd get a $10,000 debit card if they were illegal.
Magic money card, they call it.
There it is. But you got to help. You know, there's got to be crime and punishment. Otherwise, it's just crime. And that's where California is. We've turned it into just crime now. And so these wishful thinkers say, oh, we need to change what we're doing. Okay, give us an idea. Give us a concrete, how are we going to do it? How are we going to pay for it? And how are those people going to restitute the victims that they've raped, robbed, pillaged, broken in, stole their car? How are they going to do that? And they never, not one time, does a liberal have an idea that's worth a damn.
Well, I'll tell you. I think that we need to start educating the kids early, and DARE doesn't work because one kid
told you have a problem. You're asking them to educate them. That's the other cog that was destroyed. We took away education, and so these kids nowadays are so confused. They don't know right from wrong. They don't even know math. They can't add 2 + 2.
Well, we could get Charlie Can't Count in charge of the schools again, and he could teach them. 2 + 3 = 7.
If you carry the big toe twice.
That's terrible.
But you know, but the thing is, we've lost the punishment aspect of crime and punishment.
And criminals
know it.
We've got this opioid fund. By the way, if you can, go to the supervisors meeting Tuesday. They're going to discuss the, I've heard, $32 million, $38 million, up to $100 million over the years that we're going to get from an opioid settlement. And they're going to spend it on the same thing, in my opinion.
We already spend tens of millions of dollars, at least locally, and then you go to the state and it's billions of dollars. None of those programs work. They have never worked. Because
but it's keeping the economy going because they have to replace the glass they break. They've got to put up fences. They buy alarms.
Well, they don't buy any of that.
Business does.
Well, Carl
until it goes broke and has to leave.
Well, Carl talked about the fact that, you know, he had a cop in here talking on the show, and they talked about the Rock, the famous Rock. And the perpetrator didn't pay for that. The county didn't pay for it. The state didn't pay for it. Carl had to write a check for $750 to fix his own window. So I guess that's the theory of economics. If
yes.
you break it, you create a job.
You're getting money moving into the community. No, don't tell me you found the news. Okay, we're going to go on. Don't forget, we're not taking calls. I want to talk about Erin Reasoner.
Please.
She's got a little deal on Facebook, and we're going to play a couple clips off of that.
Was that next to her celebratory white party when she actually lost?
Oh, now she's saying what a good job she's going to do as a 2-year city council person.
Oh yes. And the guys, the males, the boys, are ganging up against her because she's a female. I did see that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I've got a letter
Sexism
here.
Sexism is alive and well.
I've got a letter here from Mike DeQuisto. He wrote it to, I don't know where he sent it to, one of the news sources. Erin Reasoner is attacking Mark Mazzano and is mad because she thought she could run unopposed for a 2-year seat created after I retired. She asked me to change my retirement date so she could be appointed for the remainder of my term and not have to run for election. I refused. When Mark Mazzano ran for it, her plan became so much more difficult. You know, they appointed their chosen one, Josh Johnson. Let me tell you something. I've got more on this letter. What I've noticed is you only see Josh Johnson, Erin Reasoner, and Tanessa Audette signs around town. Do you remember 2 years ago and 4 years ago when Park Marina was lined up with signs?
Oh, yeah.
I had a guy tell me he saw a City of Reading truck going around taking down signs.
Oh.
Dr. DeNucas in particular. So I called up Brenda Haynes. She's in charge of... The Republican place
old
over
Brenda.
Here. And she got on top of it and got the signs returned anyway. But
it was sure the city was taking down other candidate signs?
I'm assuming so.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And they've got an excuse. It's on public right of way.
Well, so are the other ones.
Well, yeah, that doesn't count. Okay, I'm going to go back to this later.
Please.
I spent 4 years on council with Erin. She basically voted in lockstep with Julie Winter and the Juggernaut. I spent almost 4 years on council with Mark Mazzano. From what I've personally seen, Mark worked much harder than Aaron and did it as a full-time job. He is a much better choice, in my opinion. The support for her statement by the Bethel leader, Chris Volton, and Julie Winter endorsement should tell you all you need to know. Aaron tried to block the casino expansion by selling city land to Sierra Pacific, related entity, and the court found the sale was illegal. It cost the city well over six figures in legal fees. She has never publicly apologized or admitted she was wrong. How's that for leadership?
Well, you know, and that's not a hearsay letter. That is from Mr. DeQuisto. So he was there, and by him saying that she came to him and said, hey, can you resign at a certain time so I can be appointed? And she's sitting there talking about backroom deals and special interests and all the works. Wait a minute. Her trying to convince a fellow guy who's stepping down for health reasons to resign at a certain point so she can be appointed, that's not special interest?
Well, you know, she was all for selling the Civic Auditorium and the Posse Grounds in a closed session meeting before the public was even aware of it.
Yes, yes.
Did anybody warn her
about
the land sale to the...
Oh, yeah, DeQuisto and Mazzano said we should not be doing this. This would be an open thing. It's a, surplus land thing. And they warned him, and DeQuisto in particular, because he is a lawyer, said this is going to result in litigation. Well, Winters, Reznor, and who was the third one on that, the blonde-haired lady?
Oh, Schrader.
They voted to go forward with it, and it only cost the taxpayers about six figures. So, great job, Aaron. You made a great choice there, even after a lawyer told you it will result in litigation.
Hey, let's hear that clip, that first clip on Aaron.
Sorry, I had some problems with the top of the hour. I'm going to get that straightened out right now.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Give me 1 second.
Welcome to live radio.
I'm just heartbroken we didn't get the news.
Yeah. Iran bombed Israel. End of news. There you go. I just got you up to date.
Okay, so anyway, part of Aaron's push here is she doesn't want the city council to evolve into what's happening at the county supervisors.
Well, and, you know, I saw that, and what I would like to do is have Ms. Reznor, you know, this is where Pierre Poilievre from Canada needs to come out of a candidate and say, what are you referring to?
Pardon
well,
me,
I tell you what she's referring to. She's referring to giving the voters the right to have a say on how their county is run. That's all she can.
Well, she knows better than
everybody. This clip might have been removed. It says this link may have been broken or the video may have been removed.
Why don't you go to kcnr.com and go to the archives and see if you can get it. So she doesn't want the voters to be able to decide how they want the government run. She and Mary Rickert and Tim Garman,
yep,
and Julie Winter,
yep,
they are elected to tell us how they're going to run the government.
Yeah.
And she's good with that. She evidently, she doesn't like holding departments accountable for their funding. We're going to be talking about the Children's Legacy Center here a little bit. But,
well, and you know what's
you
funny?
Know, that's what Kevin's doing. Not just Kevin, Chris Kellstrom and
yep,
Patrick Jones. They're saying, let's see if this program's working. We're spending millions of dollars here. Let's see if it's working. And the people that are running the programs resent it.
Well, and Mary Rickert resents the fact that they're actually looking at where the county money's going, and they want an accounting of where that money's going and how the program is doing. And Mary Rickert is completely against it. And it's so funny is this group of people, I'll call them haters, they keep saying how bad the county process is. But the fact of the matter is, I want an accounting of how much better we're doing. We got rid of the Dominion. We got rid of that program.
Okay, we're up probably $450,000, $500,000 getting rid of Dominion.
Yeah, and which is having problems around the nation already, for the record. They're already catching it.
And Facebook bought heart machines for us for $950,000, and it averages out $450,000, $500,000 a year. We've saved.
Yeah.
Evidently, she's not on board for that.
No. Not at all.
I appreciate you explaining that, Nick.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was the voice of God, for the record.
Yeah. And refunding ill-gotten gains. Remember the notary charge that the county was doing? It wasn't a big deal. But like Kevin says, the little things matter. And they were overcharging by a substantial amount.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking $40 or $50 for your license, the county was.
Yeah.
They a guy brought it to their attention. They found out that it was true, and they refunded the money that was due. And then you had the development impact fees that were based on a population of about $500,000. And they decided, you know, this isn't right. We're not going to be doing this anymore.
You mean 500,000 people?
Okay. Excuse me.
That's all right. At your age, the fact you remembered 500,000, I'm very happy.
That's right. So,
but no, you know, it's funny.
You know, this isn't right, folks. We're not going to do this anymore. And with Aaron and the city councils that I've seen, minus DeQuisto and Mark Mazzano, it's like, how can we get some more money? They'll never know about this. Yeah, let's put this in and take the money.
Well, and you know, it's
and
funny.
Spend it.
Well, it's funny is that the council, the three, I'll call them the big three because I like them, they're getting beat up for this whole developmental fee thing. The city of Reading did the same thing with the baseball player. Gosh darn it. Bazzetti. He did a moratorium for, I think it was a year or so, and totally brought some housing onto the thing because they waived a ton of fees for like a year or 2 years, and the city did it and was quite successful. So now the county's doing it, and you know, these morons are like, oh, well, we're giving up all kinds of money.
It wasn't money you deserved to start with.
Well, when I got into business 27 years ago in the real estate, you could do a house for about $7,000 for fees and stuff, and then you had to do your well or water and everything else. I was invited to a county thing, I don't know, 3-4 years ago before COVID, and they were projecting that to start a house in county was running about $40,000 in fees before you actually put a shovel in the ground. Well, that $40,000 goes into the price of the house. That has to be paid by somebody.
Oh, sure.
And it's government fees. It's not fees that benefit anything. It's government fees, for the record.
But you know what the state has done to help make up for that overcharge? They've taken the commission away from the selling the buying agent.
Yeah. Well, the state didn't do that. There was a lawsuit that did that. But, yes, they've changed our way of getting paid. But so, you know, they keep saying, oh, this county majority is doing this and it's costing. No. I mean, I would rather have private industry put $40,000 in their pocket and hire somebody and build a house than go to a government bureaucrat who's going to waste it and go down the black hole of the general fund. That's my opinion. So there you go. I gave you my opinion, Nick. First time ever.
So in your opinion, who do you think would be the best city council person?
Well, you know, I like Mazzano just because from what I know of the man, the last 4 years he's really worked hard. So, and he knows kind of what's going on. So I like Mazzano.
I've dealt with DeNuca.
I've heard good things. I don't know enough about him to say, but I've heard some good things. Littau, you know, again, a longtime businessman and knows how business works and what the issues are. Backus as a fellow realtor, he knows what we are facing. So I think we have some decent candidates. So it's hard for me to sit there and just put my finger and say, this is what I think is best. I think we have a good slate as long as we stay conservative, genuine conservative, and not put a stinking liberal on the thing. We are a 60%, 66% conservative county, and yet somehow everybody wants us to have a liberal city council and a liberal board of supervisors. I don't get that.
I've got a very, very short clip. Can I play for you, Rick?
Please.
Go with Mazzano.
Mark Mazzano is a 28-year veteran of the California Highway Patrol who retired with honors.
Go with Mazzano.
That's it.
An unsolicited prop for Mr. Mark.
Well, that's great. I have dealt with Mark.
Yeah.
I've called him. I've got a problem. I took him for a ride, showed him some homeless camps that he wasn't aware of. He got them cleaned up. And he's always been very responsive, very available. Ready to meet me for a cup of coffee. Let's take a drive and go look at it.
Well, and I think that's
and so has Kevin Cry.
I was going to say, I think that's what sets Cry and Mazzano apart, is they really do listen to the people. Whether they want to hear it is another story, but I'm sure, you know, but they put their time and they meet with the people that they represent. I think that's pretty impressive. That's missing in today's politics.
Yes, and Measure P and Q shows how involved Kevin Cry is and how he wants what's best for us, the citizens.
Well, you know, the thing is with the modern city or board of supervisors that I got to say says all you need to know. It's all you need to know. They voted, the three for sure, to limit terms. What politician has ever voted to limit their terms? It's almost unheard of, and these three guys voted to do that. They said to the public, look, we're going to take our time and then we're going to get the heck out. We're not going to make this a lifetime appointment. And then you have this one person who theoretically is beholden to that thing, but decides it doesn't apply to her. So I say that just the fact you had politicians who voted to limit themselves says a ton about the honesty and integrity of that group of people, in my opinion.
You know, I heard a rumor, and I'm not sure it's true. I think it probably is that the Democratic committee here in Shasta County came out and is endorsing Mary Rickert.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. She's done everything to support her and Tim Garmin, so that's that's pretty much an endorsement is all you need right there. The only thing missing is an endorsement from Camel.
Okay, we're going to a break. When we come back, we've got Chris Street.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Ready Rancher here for their support of the Kiwanis Shasta Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Redding businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
You know, I graduated from Enterprise High School in 1969, and every night's Friday night in the park for us.
Well, folks, I've got to take a minute here. During the break, Nick said he was wrong. My jaw dropped.
Just to keep peace.
He told me not to say anything, but I got to share with you that he admitted somebody else was right and he was wrong. Nick, you are human. I am very impressed. Thank you.
We have the editor of Mountaintop Time.
Yes, we do.
.substack.com here to inform us of what's going on with the Legacy Center. Let's see, the Children's Legacy Center. This changed their name now.
Right. The Children's Legacy Center really started in 2018 from nothing and all of a sudden got larger, merged with One Safe Place. Now they're changing their name again and become the Arch Collaborative. And the Mountaintop Times has done a series of articles on this about virtually $20 million of spending and very little to show for it, and lots of trouble at the Children's Legacy, including, you know, but they even admit that there was a referral for federal agencies for an investigation.
Wow. I remember some of the violence that went on, reading about it in the papers. Some of the clients were attacking the staff.
Well, the amazing part about this story is that Mountaintop Times has discovered one of the documents that the Legacy Center had to file with the state of California. And in that document, it very clearly says that they were going to set up a network of 25 counties in Northern California, and they were going to import what are called SED, or severely emotionally disabled youth. And these kids are rated at the highest level of trauma, and, of course, they create the highest level of trauma.
Let me interrupt you for a second. I remember when Susanville opened up their prisons, their families followed them up here. Do you suppose those families from 21 counties followed them up here?
Well, I don't think
a lot of them. Well, I would suspect.
Maybe, but I think more importantly is that this is importing very challenging kids. I mean, this is it would be a wonderful idea to take care of kids a few at a time, but the Children's Legacy Center literally was going to take something that counties pay $40,000 and $60,000 a month. These kids are rated on the emotional scale SED 13 and 14. That is the highest level. They have to be managed by having a staff member within an arm's reach of them.
Oh, boy.
And so there's, and they've got a long history of violence here. Shasta County was rocked in the 1990s by a set of troubles with something called Victor.
Yeah, I remember them. Centers. Yes.
And Victor treatment centers, the police, the hospitals, everybody had problems with them because these kids are what are called unrestrained. That means that the door's open, they can just walk out, do what they want. Supposedly, this is to mainstream the kids. But the problem is that you've had there's a series of people I've talked to, and whistleblowers are now coming forward, that were injured in these group homes, which have changed their name now to STRTPs. Don't you love that? You redefine yourself.
You can't have enough acronyms.
But let's just, so literally the Children's Legacy Center was going to do a bulk rate for these kids at $15,000, dramatically lower than anybody else. And so you were going to get potentially hundreds and hundreds of these kids. And the idea was that maybe you set up two dozen of these group homes. Each kid was $15,000. There's six kids to a home. That's $90,000 a month, over $1 million a year, and two dozen would be over $25 million a year. So this was big business, but remember, you're bringing this into Shasta County.
You're putting it in your neighborhood.
Right, right.
And even more so, it's Redding. The neighborhood. Yeah.
It's Redding, right, because I was going to start to get there. Because it's supposed to go to Shasta County. What it really does is go to Redding and Palisadro. So you bring this in. And you were going to have this wonderful network, and it was going to be, the worst kids possible. Of course, you can talk to dozens of people that have been permanently disabled, from experiences with Victor and others. I mean, it's a wonderful idea to try to help these kids, but how can you really manage bulk rates importing? So what we found and what we really are asking questions, remember that Kimberly Johnson is the CEO here,
yes.
But you were just talking about Erin Reznor. She's the treasurer. She's the financial officer of the Children's Legacy Center, and they admit this huge amount of spending, all kinds of fancy, and very little output.
Now, isn't this the same center that got money from the Zog Mine fire?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I want to make sure they put the connection together. Okay. Continue.
Right. Well, part of this was, to focus on creating this thing they called the pilot, which was really a 25-county network to import these kids who are really have problems, to be treatments here in Shasta County. I understand there was money in it.
I've got two questions. Why did they pick Shasta County instead of maybe Placer County or one of those counties down there? And did these kids go to our local schools?
Well, first of all, no other county would do this.
Okay.
Matter of fact, most counties had trouble with these group homes themselves. So we were going to import, in some ways, much of their troubles here to Shasta County.
And if you're one of those counties, you're probably like, yeah.
We're just going to ship these different definition of group homes.
It is group homes. Yeah, it is group homes.
Yeah, it's okay. That's another acronym so you don't have to say group homes and you don't have
that
to go
through.
That
clears it up for
you
me.
So we're talking kids with violent crimes.
Well, no, what it is kids who've been abused and they're mentally not there anymore for recovery, they've got trauma. And so, the kids need help, but Shasta County doesn't need to import hundreds of them.
Well, I want to be clear on this. Usually these kids are victims, and you know
that's what I was trying to say.
The Mountaintop Times has been very aggressive in trying to help the A21 walk in town, which was very successful a week ago.
Yes.
There was a candlelight vigil on the bridge. There's 375,000 of these unattached kids that have crossed the border and disappeared. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of those kids are trafficked. I mean, it's just a horrible story. They literally traffic these kids, and some get sold for body parts.
Oh, yeah.
That's how evil it really is. So I understand these kids are very, you know, very injured, traumatized, and such like that. But it takes a very special treatment. And the idea that you could do it at a discount is, to me, seems insane.
Well, and you're not only trying to do, you know, group therapy for traumatized kids at a discount, you're putting them in neighborhoods with other normal people and children themselves. And as the article came out, there were, you know, in the previous group homes, there was attacks on the staff and on neighbors. So that's what you're trying to import is a problem that we don't necessarily need in Shasta County.
Okay. Let me give you a sense of just what this is really all about. We have a report from the Reading Searchlight, and when Victor was closing, 17-year-old resident at the Victor Group home on Tia Mia Lane in Palisadro was arrested on suspicion of attempted murder and assault with the intent to commit rape after a semi-nude employee was found unconscious outside the home. During a period of just 90 days, you had four of these violent acts reported. Now, there's a lot of violent acts that don't get reported.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, and you have all this issue with confidentiality. I appreciate this. But so the whole concept of this was going to be based on a contract between the Children's Legacy Center and Shasta County. Now, you remember about a year and a half ago that there was a big battle over, you know, Kevin Cry, you know, fighting this idea of the $7 million from the SOG fire. What was it going to? And he was blamed for all kinds of issues, and it was talked, you know, there are issues of, you know, somehow this was misogynist or something like that.
Sure.
Well, the real story was the county of Shasta, not because of the supervisors, but because of the staff. There's a hero here, and it's the staff members at Shasta County that had the institutional memory of what had happened with Victor. And there's actually another set of, you know, crisis 10 years before that called His Haven. But mm-hmm. Victor had 10 of these homes that
yep.
60 kids here in Shasta County, and they have places all up down the state. But there were, in a 90-day period, there were four reported serious violent issues. One of those issues is a kid snuck out a window, filled up a bag full of rocks, snuck up a pillowcase, snuck up behind one of the counselors when they were leaving, and hit her side of the head, and she paints with her teeth now.
Oh, geez.
I mean, so this is, I mean, these are catastrophic injuries. And, you know, as I said, one arm's length. I mean, so, and there are very dedicated, wonderful professional people that do this, but they'll tell you that nobody knows how to do this in bulk.
Well, and not to do it in a residential home, in a residential neighborhood, because it's not the right facility, it's not securable, they can break out the windows. I remember that there was a group home on Kingsway.
This is not secure. These kids are supposed to have... They're supposed to have their freedom and the maximum amount of
no, I get that, but that's what I'm saying is we're trying to import, you know, up to hundreds of kids and put them in this facility that's not securable, because I remember I had a listing on King's Way, and there was a group home two doors down across the street, and it was a Victor home, and it caused holy hell because the five kids broke out of a window in the middle of the night and went on a rampage and destroyed a ton of crap in that neighborhood. And it was all because these kids weren't able to be secured in the home. And so now you've got a situation where you're putting them in a single family home. You can't put bars on those windows. You can't, there's not fire, you know, sprinkler facilities. These kids need to be in a facility that can house those violent outbursts safely so they can get through to the next phase. And like you're saying, somebody just came up and whacked an employee with a bag of rocks.
Well, you know, this used to be called Big Pine. They take these kids from the city that, you know, The only thing they know is the liquor store on the corner and all the games and such like that. They put him in the forest. All of a sudden, the kid, you can walk out the door, kid, but, you know, there's lions and tigers and bears out there, you know, and you know, you got to get food. You've got to, like, grow it. You know, you got to get up in the morning. You got to do chores. So these kids would be taken out of their network, you know, which a lot of them, terrible, terrible situation. They're put in these criminal gangs and such like that. First, they're sort of used as, you know, for prostitution, everything else. But then they grow older and they think this is the way of life. And they get kind of Stockholm syndrome.
Sure.
And then they start to be that person. So a lot of these kids come from families, you know, the terrible families where the parents were part of that mess, and it just keeps on in the family.
Mom and dad's a drunk or a drug addict, and that's the way everybody is.
And I feel, you know, there's Christian love to try to work in this area. I think it's a wonderful thing. That's why we're for, you know, A21, The Walk, and Guardians for Freedom. But having said that, this has to be done intensively in the community, and it can't be done as a business model.
Well, now, you know, we've got 15 minutes left, so we got to crowd in. What's going on there? Where's this money going? What is becoming the issue there that you discovered?
How much have they gone through?
Well, that's a good question. So let's just talk about the money we know about, and I'm sure there's others. So initially, this was, you know, was funded by small fundraisers and such like that. But then they started getting grants from the state. They got a grant through the county of Shasta for $675,000 to start the process of figuring how to handle these kids. They called it, you know, it was going to be a center where if a girl got raped, she didn't have to go to the hospital on the other side of town then to do a police report in this. They could keep it very private, and they could have it in this one little facility, kind of like a you know, could be one large room.
Sure.
And it was a wonderful idea. Everybody was behind it. And then it started getting $675,000 grant, $3.4 million grant, $7 million from the Zog Fire, $7 million from the state of California, and you know, started hiring. They went from five clinician employees, to 70. Remember, a clinician is somebody with credentials and such like that. They're normally going to have a layer on top of that. So I have no idea how many people work there. Nobody does. They normally, charities file their 990, which is their financial disclosure with the IRS. You know, a great charity files it in 90 days. A good charity, just like the state, has to file it in 180 days. And after 279 days, it's in default. So we haven't seen a 2023 990 for the Children's Legacy Center or their acquisition of One Safe Place, which was around since 1979. And you know, very fantastic place. The Rotary put $1 million. These guys put $1 million in it last year. New fencing, new security, everything. Handles 57 people in a regular time. All this has come together, and you could just see these the salaries go from 40 to 80 to 130 to 190. And when this is through 22, and the big money came in 23, or 22 and then 23. So the 23 annual report would talk about compensation. So I've asked Kimberly Johnson, I've asked Aaron Reznor about the money. All you have to do is show us, you know, we're very interested in that. This was a disclosure you had to make to the state of California. I mean, it was a God thing that somebody found it, because it's a public document. But, of course, who knew that there was a report, and who knew the state got that report? Once we saw that report, that started the process. We now have whistleblowers coming forward. It's an amazing story. We're on our third part in a series. So I think this is going to be a 10-part series, and I think that everyone should know about this. I strongly encourage Aaron Reznor, you're the financial officer of this. Please come forward. You know, we're willing to hear your story. We'd like to understand what this is all about. Kimberly Johnson, I know that this was about the children. You know, I love that thing. You know, Mary Rickards, you know, was very upset when the county didn't give him a contract because this is about the children.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're a realtor.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this also about the community?
Well, that's the problem is people with these special interests, they always focus on, again, the lowest common denominator. Forget the other 50 homes in that neighborhood with tax-paying people and families.
And kids.
And now we're going to pluck. Cause, I mean, I brought it to Nick's attention, and I've been bitching about it for a couple of years, is Project Home Key. The county was given a couple million dollars to go buy, I think it's 6 homes in Shasta County, and they bought them in Shasta Lake City and in Anderson. And they bought 6 homes just to drop homeless people into it. So
That was Donnell Ewert's deal.
That's what I'm saying. So
that's Mary Rickards' good buddy. If she gets reelected, you can bet he's going to be back in the county.
Well, my point being, Chris, is, you know, nobody consulted those neighbors and said, hey, we're going to buy a house and we're just going to have random homeless people in their process of recovery just come and live in your neighborhood. They didn't account for the people who lived there. And so here's a situation where they're going to put these violent kids.
I don't want to call them violent kids.
Well,
some are extremely violent.
Kids with some issues caused by probably adults, which really sucks.
The key word you're missing is imported.
Well, I mean,
I don't mind taking care of ours, but I resent them being imported into our community.
And I know we have plenty of our own people, our own kids that have problems.
Sure.
But what do you got, sir?
Well, I really want to compliment the staff. You know, at the county, I think, you know, most people yell at public employees, they couldn't do this, they could do that better. A lot of this is a very hard job with the underbelly of our society. These things happen, you know, child sexual trafficking, you know, exploitation. These are, unfortunately, they're common issues. You know, the Mountaintop Times went after this guy, Jesus Ramos Maldonado. And here's a guy who molested a little girl over here, age 14, at the local school. And, you know, he was clearly grooming her for something big. Fortunately, the girl goes and tells her mother. That never happens. And that starts a process. And it still took almost 14 months. And the guy, really for the first time in this area, got slammed. He's going to 2 years, 8 months in prison. He's no parole. He's a registered sex offender for life, and he's on probation for 10 years. I mean, when they discovered this guy, he admitted everything he did.
So why is the wheels of justice grind so slow?
Okay, so let's get down to what I think is the real answer here. And started out by saying that there are no primary care doctors in this area. The real issue here is that you are in the tail end of the medical system, yet you have lots of seniors and you are generating lots and lots of revenue here. You now have this, I think it was Proposition 1 money, about 30-some million dollars from there. There's a settlement from this opioid of $39 million. There'll be more money. So together, this is about $100 million. And so we're going to come up with these treatment programs or put them in counseling. Why don't we solve the problem by taking this $100 million and doing what Dr. Danuka says? Why don't we start our own local medical school? There's a medical school in Vallejo called Turo Medical School. It's an osteopath. Now, people like osteopath doctors because they use their hands. You know, they sort of have massaged. They do all the sort of traditional things the doctors did before they had drugs.
You feel
in their
like
hands.
The doctor's investigating instead of punching your symptoms in a computer.
You really have a close relation. 80% of the kids that graduate from this medical school go into primary care in the area, and more importantly, so they're rated number 4 in the fourth tier of the United States for medical schools for research, but they're rated in the second tier above fancy schools in California for primary care doctors. So we need to take a look at this money that's coming in when we spend. Why don't we really have why don't we have medical detox? And medical detoxing people is very, very hard. These people have a life of this. Whether you like it or not, drugs are extremely satisfying.
Sure.
So getting them to give up something that's that good for something that's better, you're going to have to work with them. They're not going to be really doing well generally. I mean, there are a lot of day counselings that may work and such like that. But why don't we do it in a medical facility? You're going to build a 20 or 30 bed, you know, rehab center with this Prop 1 money. Why don't we use that as part of building a small medical school? Let's do the same thing that Vallejo. These are all over the Midwest, even upstate New York.
I've got an idea. Let's just go take Dr. Tate's hospital over here. Eminent domain.
Well, I'm saying you got to do it. It's got to comply, and you know you want to teach, so you have to have classroom environment. You could have a powerful primary care medical school here. And you'd have lots and lots of doctors. You'd have medical detox so you can really effectively work with bringing these people back. For the kids that have suffered trauma and the rest of this, you could have specialized treatment and doctors that are more aligned with this kind of population. You know, why don't we try to solve the root problem? And the money's here. The question is, do we have the community spirit to join with Dr. Danuka and do it?
On top of that, you know, indigenous people could go to that college for medical treatment, and they would be getting hands-on experience.
Oh, absolutely. And it would also have pharmacy, you know, x-ray techs and that. You know, the cost wouldn't be that high in the community if you generated enough doctors here. And you know, pharmacy, you know, did you know that we have the second best nursing school in the state of California, the largest state in the United States? Simpson College.
Wow.
Number two. I mean, how does a little...
I know it's hard to get into. I have friends who've tried to get into it, and it's tough.
Well, but I mean, but well, that's great.
Isn't it great to know that
Redding, Shasta County has a center of excellence in the state and
absolutely,
probably nationally? And so, you know, so why don't we take that experience that they built this powerful, you know, effective nursing school, turn that into the next level, which builds a medical school in the community. It'll be powerful, but more importantly, it'll be personal to the people in Shasta County. These people that go to the medical school will come from I know a doctor whose daughter maxed the MedCat. That's a test you take, you know, and high score. She got an absolute top score in the MedCat. She couldn't get into a medical school in California. She's in New York right now. That's one person. She's moved there. She'll probably get married, start a family there, and yep, never come back.
Yep.
So why don't we do the right thing and have these wonderful kids, you know, get educated here so they stay here.
That's why you want to vote for Dr. Danuka.
Well, let me do this. We've got 2:30. What do you want to finish up with, Chris? What do we need to know so that we can be keeping an eye on what you discover?
Well, I think the next issues that we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about One Safe Place, you know, and the acquisition of One Safe Place. And I think this is really important to take a look at, because why would an organization that spends tons of money, has tons of overhead, take over something that's, you know, really run, you know, by local people? It's been around since 1979. It's got all kinds of awards and such like that for dealing with the real problem. I just want to know why.
Follow the money.
Right, right. And I mean, this is huge money. If they would have set this up, there would have been 2 dozen here, and then there would have been 2 dozen more. And so, you know, this would scale all over the place. I understand it's big business. I just don't think that not-for-profits should be about big business.
Didn't you say there's 1,200 non-for-profits here in Shasta County?
Well, there's 1,200, and there's over almost $2 billion of assets.
Wow. In Shasta County.
In Shasta County.
And how many have you investigated and found questionable practices?
Well, first, I want to first stop and say that the vast majorities are wonderful organizations, family offices, and people that have donated money, created a great solution and such like that. You know, I go to the mission, you know, programs and their fundraisers and such like that. You know, this is started from the heart. I'm a big contributor to the Salvation Army. But you're going to have people you know, the many of those have been around for a long time. This is a startup in 2018. And this is paying real compensation.
Big money.
Yeah. So why 990? I want to see the 990. Why doesn't Children's Legacy Center produce their 990 for 2023?
We'd like as to per it. The law requires.
I've given them my contacts. We've had some emails back and forth, but they need to help people understand that they're doing the good work. And the county of Shasta, you know, tries really, really hard to work with people. It's hard to have services.
Well, Chris, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're done for the day. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening, guys.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.